the mic.
Hey, top of the morning to you, Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
And smile, cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. This child away, strong in the face. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to. Cause I can't let it stay go, can't let it stay go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And it's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When trouble seems to rain on my dreams, it's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just to get to, so I won't let it stay go, won't let it stay go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And ooh, there's something about the way your sunshine's on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on, take me away. It's a beautiful. About. There ain't no limitation. Your amazing grace. Your amazing grace. And there's something about the way your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. I'm gonna sing a brand new song. Yeah, I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away on this beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
Do I have audio now on the Blog Talk? Do I have audio now? Somebody text me and let me know if you can hear me on the Blog Talk. I beg your pardon? Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank God again. And I want to break and destroy and ban all spirits of interference, all hindering spirits. I want to break the power of all transferring curses. I want to break the power. You see, brothers and sisters, I got a teaching somewhere, don't know where at the moment, but whenever God moves, you know that the enemy is right there to try to cause a stumbling block. And we also know that we have to run interference from curses and witchcraft and all that stuff. And the number one way that the enemy uses is confusion. In any shape, form, or fashion, any way that he can bring confusion, because confusion causes doubt. Chaos causes interference. So the devil likes to work in doubt. You know that. The Bible says the greatest thief of God's blessings is doubt and unbelief. And the second is, I believe, transference of spirits that are already on somebody else. Because I know for a fact that whenever God is trying to cause you, it's not him, to break through from one level to another level, he's going to use somebody close to you, or he's going to use a work that he set up in the form of a trap in somebody a long time ago to be initiated. He doesn't care if it's 10 years, 5 years, 8 down the road. It's just that he's going to do that. So that's why your own faith is so important. Your own knowledge of the Word of God is so important. Important. It is. Now, I called a couple of people. I called several. And I have about a few people I bounce things off of to see how they felt, or if they were able to receive what went forth, because I had a check in my spirit from the Holy Spirit that somebody, the person that had the doubt and unbelief, they called and texted me, and they repented, and you see, it doesn't do anybody any good, brothers and sisters, when you sit up and hold things in your heart and won't take it to the person that it involves. It's just like I was involved with a man who was a pedophile, and he brought in a spirit of incest to his family. Now, you may not believe this, but this man was a bishop in a big denomination, and this man, the way I met him, his son is a preacher, and he's a preacher in a big denomination. But this guy had a lust demon that was supernatural. It wasn't even human. He slept with so many different women in that church, in their church, and his daddy happened to have been a 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth generation preacher. So he had made it up to the level of bishop in his church. And I'm saying this for somebody this morning, but I want you to know this. And he happened to have 9 sons and 3 daughters. His children, he had 9 sons and 3 daughters. He had molested all 9 of his sons, and he had molested over 50-something that we could count, boys that were men that are now preachers that have come, that came through his church. So when I ministered to his son, and this happened to be his baby son, and he said, I want to tell you something. And I ministered to his mother, and eventually I ministered to the bishop. He said, my father told my mother after I was born that that was it, that God told him to stop having any type of sexual relations with his wife. I believe today, they both dead now, and but I believe that his wife knew he was molesting these boys. He had a special room in the basement of his house where he would take his own sons after everybody had gone to sleep down in this room and molest them. So his denomination never found out. They never found out. After I took 3 of the sons through deliverance, the other sons chose to go the route of closet, closet, in the closet. Don't tell nobody. So I could say this man ordained about, he molested all his daughter's husbands, by the way, because all his daughter's husbands came out of their church. So when I took the son, you know who I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Joe? You remember when this happened? When I took the son through deliverance, the father who was the predator and the molester, his father was so big in this denomination and so wealthy that he had a lot of kids too. And his father, so that would have been his grandfather, molested his father, who molested him, and who got a bunch of preachers, even right now, maybe a couple hundred. I've seen some of them, a lot of them, prayed for some, and some didn't want me to pray for them and were actually mad with me and cursed me. Because I knew. But you see, I didn't go around gossiping about the man. As I learned these things about the man, I went to the bishop. And I said, I laid down the facts. He was mad with me at first. I mean, he threatened me. And told me what he was gonna do, and even told me what he was gonna do in the spirit to me. And I said, well, you know, do what you gotta do, and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. To make a long story short, I was able to take this bishop through deliverance. He retired. But brothers and sisters, his dirty, filthy work is still going on because of all those people that are running around with his spirit in them. And I could tell you stories that I know for a fact, not because somebody told me. The inside story to that Heaven's Gate cult and many other cults. But why are you going this way this morning, Erica? Because I want you to know this. This one of the spirits behind what caused these men to do these things was lust. There was another one behind it called covetousness. They coveted with their eyes and brought curses upon themselves. Another one was lust, covetousness, and then the bottom line was witchcraft. Because the preacher had to enact his own form, the bishop rather, of witchcraft in order to get all those young men and take control of their mind to the point where one, through fear and other manipulation, they wouldn't tell. Two, whenever you're raped and molested, it does something to the amygdala in the brain. Some of them came out like they were retarded. Excuse me. Not to be offensive with my words this morning, but there was nothing wrong with them. There was nothing wrong with them. Demons. Demons. Vicious, malicious demons were manifesting through their body. Remember I told you that the cells can retain memories. So I had to bring this out this morning because I got a couple people listening. No, I did not gossip about your problem, but I brought it to you. And it's up to you to deal with it. Because as a deliverance minister, I hate gossip. And I told somebody, I said, I talked to you about this situation only because you were there. Had you not been there, I'd have never even discussed it with you. I said, and it's sin for me to talk to anybody else about anybody else's problem if I'm not God-fearing and Jesus loving enough to confront them, and not in a harsh way, but to let them know you have a problem. Jesus is your answer. Now, this bishop, I mean, he is in a big denomination. Was. He's going to be with the, he's gone wherever he went. Brothers and sisters, there are people that have problems. You see the problem. Because one, God is revealing it to you. He is not revealing the problem to you to sit back and for you to laugh about it or to point the finger or to make a judgment. God always reveals to heal. That bishop repented. He repented. And when he died in the nursing home, he died on his knees. And the nurses said, the last thing they heard him say was, "Don't bring me back. I'm going where I want to be." Not everybody is mad because they leaving here. Some people are glad because where he went, because he repented. He sincerely repented. Even some of the men he molested, he called them up for me so I could go or they could come and be delivered. from his sins. True repentance is a beautiful thing. And sometimes the thing that's holding us back is we won't repent. We turn ourselves into some kind of sicko superhero, super Christian, super saint. You're not. You know what you are this morning? Saved by grace. You saved by grace. You know what I am this morning? Saved by grace. I'm not confessing. I'm on the other side of the cross now, and so are you. Don't gossip. The Bible says bad things come to rumor mongers and tale bearers. If there's something that you feel like you got to gossip about somebody, go to the person. Tell them. Don't let them walk around here messed up, and you got the answer that can help them. The Bible says, let the strong bear the burdens of the weak. I just had to get that off my heart. There's nothing. Well, there's one thing. There's nothing you can't repent about and start over. The Bible says not to covet another person's anything. You're in a point of breakthrough. You're in a point of crossing over that bridge, almost at the summit of that mountain we climbing. Don't you be the one to hold yourself back. Don't you be the one. I want you to repent for gossiping somebody. And stop it. Stop it. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. And you know what it does to the person you're gossiping about? Satan uses that to unloose a horde of demons on them. He used your mouth. Uh-huh. And don't you think that it's not being noticed? There is a book. There are books in heaven. And everything is being recorded. I did that radio program on Sheila Zielinski about intent. You see, God knows the intent of your heart. And that's what he looks at. He looks at whether you're doing something intentionally, including praying, including fasting. What is the intent behind what you're doing? Your intent has got to be based on eternity, believers. And if your intent is based on eternity, don't you know the Bible says that God will bless you with houses and land and anything else you give up for his sake and the gospel's intent? Intent. Everything is not funny. It's not funny. And why are you laughing at it? I know people who laugh because they're afraid to look at the reality of things. And they laugh and try to laugh it off. But inside, man, they tear, they being toe up. Toe up. Why? What's the intent? What you gonna do with this? I talked to a couple people. I talked to some people that were born rich. I talked to some people that came out their mama's womb rich. And you know what they said to me? I don't have a problem with my mom. I ain't got no problem with money. I said, I know you don't. I said, but God saved you so that you could help the rest of us understand about real wealth. And we can understand your problems are not money. That's what I told somebody last night. Money is not a problem for you. Your problem is how to keep all that money. And your problem is you say you're a believer, then why don't you give up some of that money to the kingdom? You see, brothers and sisters, it's a strange kind of world we live in. I mean, and I talked to a couple, not just one, because I bounce things off a lot of people so I can keep myself balanced. I asked people, how you feel about this message here? And they say, I loved it. I love the prayer. I love the message. I don't understand it because I ain't never had no problem with no money. I said, yeah. You know, I wish I could say that. What am I trying to get you to see? This person I was talking to back in the 90s, they were classified as nouveau riche because they made their money in the 90s. They were rich and they lost it and they made it again. Now, when I talk to them about money, they have a completely different perspective. Because they got rich, lost it, and made it again. And then they say, money is not my God. God is my God. Because they all got saved. And God brought us all into one family. So we got to understand and love our family members. And try to use the knowledge that God has put around us, brothers and sisters, to do something for Him. On this earth, while we're here. I called up Brother Robert this morning because I knew when I was teaching last night and trying to show you people that have received a wealth transference. You know why I was trying to show you that? Through the word? So it could happen for you. I know it's going to happen for me. I ain't got no doubt. I know. Because the devil tried too hard to keep it. Because you know what? I have made a lot of money and given a lot away. So I understand where one person that I was talking about, infinite supply. But you know what, brothers and sisters? God dropped the anointing of ease. When I made my first million, I had to struggle. I had to work. And I still haven't given up. I work all the time, but I like to. But it comes from working all the time when I didn't like to. So it just became a way of life. last night, I talked to about three people. Let me tell you what they said. And then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Robert, because he got a word from the Lord on this. One person I talked to is a traveling nurse. And she called me and said, I have a praise report. Or either, I don't remember, either I called her to ask her what did she get this message in her spirit. And she said, yeah, you know what happened? I said, what? She said, right after Apostle Jean finished praying, my phone rang. She said, now I live in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm a traveling nurse. And they offered me a job at the maximum rate of pay as a traveling nurse. She said, I believed it when I heard yesterday, and God manifested today. So I said to her, I said, praise God. But she had already gone, brothers and sisters, and done the paperwork. She had already applied for the job. She had already gone to college and got her degree. God works with us. He'll take you over the next level. But you got to have prepared the ground. You must have prepared the ground. Another person called me up and said, Dr. Erica, you won't believe this. I said, I bet I will. They said, my husband came in last night and dumped $2,500 in my lap. I said, really? They said, he got down on his knees and he asked me to forgive him. I said, forgive him for dropping the money in your lap. They said, the money was his stash. He had a secret stash. And he got so convicted by God. Hallelujah. She said, he won't even listen to the TED line. Don't want to know nothing about the TED line. She said, but I cut it up loud and I let it just play through the house. She said, and when he got up, he asked Jesus to come into his heart and be his personal savior. She said, I don't know if I'm happier about the money or him asking Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. That was a joke, by the way. Because now she wants him to get off the alcohol. But you know what? God gave her a sign. That was a sign of better things to come. I got a text this morning. A lady said she found $100 at the bus stop this morning. She said she just sat down and it was laying there and wasn't nobody else in the shelter. I said, do you think an angel put it there for your sister? She said, Dr. Erica, it was a new $100 bill. She said it was just laying there. You either believe it, brothers and sisters, or you're going to miss out on it. She said it didn't even look like anybody, if anything, maybe it was just out the, she said, the ATM machine. ATM, no, not ATM, HTM, heaven time travel machine. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not to me. But it ought to matter to you. God is able, more than able. More than able. Now, so then I had left a message on Brother Robert's machine. I think your mic is open, Brother Robert. I believe I opened it. Oh, that's right. It went off. Yes, open. Can you hear me?
Brother Robert. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Ted Lyon. Praise God. You want me to go ahead then?
Please.
Okay. I got the message. I went to sleep pretty much right after the message last night. And when I woke up this morning, I saw that Dr. Erica had left a message on my phone. And it was looking for feedback or if there, I had any feedback on the message. And so this morning, I sat down and I sought the Lord on it. And I asked him if he had a word for us regarding the message. And this is what he said. I'm going to read what he said here. And there's a teaching in this. This is a wonderful opening of new things. And this is a sewing together of the things that we've had until now from him. Anyway, he said, the first thing that I saw a picture of a pheasant in a fall scene. I'm in the Midwest and there's a lot of corn fields and things like that out here. And often you can see pheasants flying low, but over the corn from one place to another, and that's a common kind of a fall thing in the Midwest. That's what I was seeing, a pheasant flying low over some stalks of corn and things that had been cut down. And the Lord started speaking, and he said, the pheasant flies low, but it is still desired by the earth, and the earth reaches for her to shelter her and to provide for her. Therein is the picture of what you seek, a bird, a creature of the earth, not the sky, and demons and whatnot are birds of the sky. The pheasant is a bird actually that can travel through the sky, but actually is a creature of the earth, one that lives upon and by the earth, yet is able to travel and, yes, traffic by the air. Though it is not of the earth, she is desired as game by the hunters for food and for sport, but the earth hides her and provides food and shelter for her, and I make her outwardly to be indistinguishable from the earth that shelters her. So are each of you that partook of my words last night. The earth is my shelter and provision of you and for you, for I have created it for you to serve and to protect and to provide as my servant, my stand-in. But your sin turned it from you at Adam's hand. I am turning that around as I turn around this ease in your bodies. Ease is wellness and wholeness. Wholeness is having all the parts, all the pieces again, the way it was intended. He goes on, you have received and are receiving that well. Now, therefore, behold, I reveal unto you the part of the ease which I originally created for you to dwell in and by is the earth as protector. Let me start that again. Now, therefore, behold, I reveal unto you that part of the ease which I originally created for you to dwell in and by is the earth as protector and provider for you at my direction. Therefore, as you see ease conquering this ease within your bodies and your lives, so now look at the outward for the simultaneous moving and changing of the earth around you. What once was cursed is now blessed. I am lifting the curse I placed upon the earth for sin's sake. None of you have seen the tremendous volume of fruit the earth is capable of yielding to you and for you and all around you. And like the pheasant, you shall eat of this bounty and be sheltered by the same. He said, did I not say money answers all things? And let me read that scripture real quick here. That was one that we posted last night. Ecclesiastes 10:19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. We're used to a feast that's for a specific purpose, made laughter. Wine makes merry. They have specific tasks, but money is able to deal with many things. In our lives, we have a job that provides money. We have a house that provides shelter. Money is behind both of those, and actually anointing is behind that also. The Lord looks at the earth as your shelter and your provider, his stand-in. Those, your job and your house, your shelter, those things in your life, he looks at as the earth. Anyway, did I not say money answers all things? Therefore, it must be available in the same abundance as is all things. If all things is much, then the answer, his answer, must be equally much. Therefore, you must all look around yourselves and see your earth. It is what surrounds you and in what you have nested in and fed upon. Begin to see it as a new field, one you do not yet know, one that will yield many, many times more fruit for the same effort you have been sowing with. When once a day's labor provided one small bag of seed in return, behold, I now bless your field to give unto you a bag of bags, a volume greatly multiplied. You must step out in faith and begin sowing into your new fields diligently and joyfully. And for scripture, I give you Jacob. For what I did for him, I swear by myself, or I swear upon myself, I am doing for all of you that will do as Jacob did. Then he gave me the scripture, Ecclesiastes 11:1-6. And I'll read that. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yes, even divide it to eight. For you know not what evil may come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls forward, or toward the south rather, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there will it lie. He who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you know not the work of God who does all. And this is the main scripture here. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand. For you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike, will be good. And in this, the fields, the things that we do to make money. Remember, he said, "I give unto you that God gives us the ability to create wealth." Mm-hmm. The things that we do for a living, that's your field, that's your soil, that's your earth. We go to work and we get a paycheck. We need to start looking at this and looking at it new. When you're the way that your eyes looked at the working world when you first started working and you got your first check, and it was an amazing machine. I go do this and I get this money. Isn't this wonderful? That same newness is what we should be looking at our fields now. Something else we should sow in the morning and in the evening. We should start testing it. Start doing new things. The soil that you have, maybe it grows one crop better than another. Maybe you can start taking some talents that you've ignored and start working with them. But we do need to start sowing these things, and the Lord is going to give an increase. Whatever starts bearing more fruit in a surprising way, follow up on that and sow more towards that. It is going to happen. You know, there is something, Genesis 3:17 said, "And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." That was the curse. This anointing that we keep hearing about, the anointing of ease, could it be that the dropping of this anointing of ease is the same as the lifting of that curse on the earth? In trying to understand what this anointing of ease is, we understand what the curse of the earth is. It's hard. You have to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. If the Lord is lifting that curse so that the earth itself is on our side, the earth itself will start producing more than we're used to. That's the same thing. That is what that anointing, the dropping of that anointing of ease, is the lifting of that curse on the earth. So what we have before us is newness. We have a new field. We don't know how much it's going to provide. And what a wonderful thing to go out and test it. Start sowing to your talents that you've ignored since high school. Start looking back at those. Start taking a portion of money and sowing here, a portion of money and sowing there, and see what prospers. But know in your heart and expect something is going to change. Something already has changed. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, amen. Brother. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Some of you, listen, don't stay where you are intellectually. Don't do it. I just, as you were talking, the Lord told me to go over there and look at my email because I wanted to see if there was any more emails over there. And you know what I saw, Brother Robert? I think that was Nadia that sent me a picture that she had drawn with regard to the anointing of Eve I don't know if she's on here this morning. Nadia, are you on? Jessica, is Nadia on here? I would like for her to explain the picture she sent me. Brothers and sisters, you know, you must have your seeds out there. Let me give you an example. I've had the Tedline website up, all of those websites you see. I did them myself, didn't know what I was doing or anything. But I know that I needed many websites because I wanted to put up teaching all over. And so I sat there days and months and years and taught myself how to build a website. But I'm looking at the new websites, and I said, now, I don't know how to do that to make them look, they're just fabulous, and they're so ultra professional. So I went out, and I've been looking at different people's websites for a long, 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 long time, and I finally saw one that I really, really liked, and I contacted the company. And with the technology and everything, I'm going to be able to put 14 one-page from 14, where before I had 14 websites. I'm going to have one 10-line website with 14 different categories of web pages. And therefore, I'm going to be able to reduce how much money I pay GoDaddy and have a beautiful, modern, high-tech website that conveys more of my teachings under the Tedline banner than ever before. But it isn't because I didn't start looking for it. Okay, okay, that's Nadia. And she said that her mother had sent me a picture of a website. But Nadia, what's the last four that she had done? And it was sent by your mom under the anointing of ease. 8-3-2. Okay, Jessica, I just opened up your website, but I'm gonna try to find Nadia's. Now, brothers and sisters, okay. Nadia is 18 years old. Is Nadia 18 or 19 now?
18.
Yeah. And that was Nadia you heard praying. Nadia.
Yes,
can
sir.
You hear me? What?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about that picture, that painting you did that your mom sent me. I mean, I have other of yours as well.
Mm-hmm. That was a painting that I had done back when I believe my mom was still just getting delivered at first from cancer. And I had originally started that painting, but it just wasn't right. So I had gone back to it, and it just went together so easy. And for Tedline, it was a painting of my mom, and there's a field and everything's flowing and it's on a sunset, and then there's a red dress that she's wearing, and I don't know, it was just something that God had given me. And a lot of the paintings that I do, it's just something that God will show me, and I just have to act on it, and then I just kind of do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back on it, it's really awesome, because it's like my mom was saying that it's kind of reminding her of just like ease.
Mm-hmm.
And after we prayed for the anointing of ease, it's just really cool to look back on it and see it now.
Amen.
And it's a picture of me running through cornfields, and the Holy Spirit told me to look up because I have it hanging above my computer and where I'm sitting. I have it mm-hmm. hanging in our living room. And when Brother Robert was speaking of the cornfields, I looked up and saw it, and I said, oh, I have to share this. I really wish I could put it on the Spreaker or Blog Talk, because it's beautiful. And the backstory of that is that when my children were very small, and I would pray with them at night, and I would always say, you know, close your eyes and, you know, let's see Jesus. And, you know, you're running free, because they always love to run out in just open fields. And, you know, I would say, just picture Jesus and he's with you and you're running free, and never forget that. So as they've grown up, they still remember that, and we smile and we'll laugh about that, just running through fields and in heaven, how it's going to be so glorious and beautiful. And so that's why this painting just means so much. And then just hearing God speak to us through Brother Robert is just a blessing. It's beautiful.
Praise God. Brothers and sisters, you won't know God with your mind. You won't experience the things of God with your mind. You're going to have to yield your heart. You're going to have to experience where you are and what you're coming into through your heart. The mind can't get it. The mind ain't got it. That's why in that song, The Inner Man, it says, don't listen to your mind. Listen to your heart. And the other thing that I want you to know, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's what the psalmist say. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It says that I might not sin against God. Well, some of you can think you're doing all right on your way to heaven. But if you don't have faith, you're going to bust hell wide open. Faith is an action word. And faith is a spirit at the same time. And so many of God's words must be experienced. I tell you that. Remember I say the anointing can't be taught. It has to be caught. But there's a level beyond the anointing. It's when God takes you into his glory. When God manifests himself, how do you individually and divinely, you are reconnected with him corporately. You know what I'm saying to you? Then you flow into the area of the miraculous. And what Brother Robert was saying is that your blessings that are available to you now are coming from this earth, from this land. But you still gotta have faith to appropriate it. It's still gonna require you to what? Work. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is daylight. For the night cometh and no man can work. Everybody's work is different. I don't know what your work might be to walk your dog. And along that route you walk the dog, God got something marvelous for you. Just waiting to open up. It's already there. It's already in existence. But he's just waiting to open it up, that you can receive it through your heart. I really want you to think about this. When Brother Robert was talking about sowing, well, it's already been prayed through. The power. You see, God said in that scripture I heard quoted a lot, and I quoted myself, in Deuteronomy, God does not want you and I to say, my power and the strength of my hand made this happen or did this. God doesn't want you to say, I created this well. That's what I used to say all the time. I used to say I was a self-made woman. Then one day I got corrected by the Holy Spirit. You're not a self-made woman. You're a God-made woman. And that's when I began to teach that God makes you. It is God that makes you. It is God that has to make you. And God can make you wealthy. But it says, you're going to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you what? Power. Power to create and make this wealth. Why? That he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to, not to you, but to your fathers, and it passed down to you. The scriptures say, as it is this day. If you have got to believe, brothers and sisters, that God has supernatural power, and that God has empowered his word with the same supernatural power that he, God himself, has. You got to believe that God has also empowered you. How? As a believer. Brothers and sisters, power is the very essence of God. Power is his divine nature. And God's power is absolute. And God's power is coupled with his absolute authority, which allows God to do whatever he pleases with no limitations at all. No limitations. The same power of God which created the universe, parted the sea, has been changing lives since the beginning of time. Job said, who can understand it? Who can understand it? You can begin to, if you understand his biblical principles of faith, if you understand his biblical principles of love, that because he is love, he loves you to be blessed with himself. He loves you into being blessed. Into being blessed by himself. He loves you. He loves you. And through his great power of love, he's available, brothers and sisters, to answer your prayers. He's available. He is available, and he desires. Why? Because he loves you to meet those needs. But you and I have to give him something to work with. You hear what I'm saying? He has angels ready on assignment to do his bidding. They ain't gonna do your bidding. You can't order no angels around. Don't think you can. Angels take instructions from God. But he uses them, he says, he uses them to minister to you and I. I thank him that we are of the world, but we're not in the world. Of what world? Heaven. What world are we not in? The one we live in. Well, we're moving on, and brothers and sisters, your God, who loves you, is desiring to do great things for you. Will you give him the seed he needs? Will you give him the seed that's required? Will you put your time in cultivating the seed? And then, when those crops grow, it's your harvest. It's your harvest. What is he asking you to do? To believe. Believe what? His word that is true. Is it true for you? It has to be. It has to become your truth. I thank God for everything that's happening. I know I'm going to hear more today. But remember this. When God wanted a son, he took his word and he created them. When he wanted a family, he took the word that he had created. And his son said, I'll go. I'll go. Whatever is required, be ready. Be ready. That nurse wanted a better job. She a Tedliner too, been on the Tedliner a year and a half out of Wichita, Kansas. There's a lot of Tedliners on here. You don't know them. I don't know them. I know a few. But I don't know the 30,000 people that download the TED information. But I know this. God knows them. God knows them. It's not important that I know them, but it's important that they know Jesus. That's got to be your intent. I'm going to tell everybody about the answer. I'm telling you this morning, it's a great day. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day. I thank God for it. I thank God for manifesting himself upon this earth. And I thank God for those of you that are going to get it. But I'm praying for you that you all get it and receive it. Because God wants to take you from where you are to where he needs you to be. And it ain't where you are right now. No matter where you are. See you tomorrow on the TED Line. Blessings.
Never been true. Can you?